Ouija boards. Some of you might be scared of them. Some of you might want to interact with the dead. But what really happens when you play with a Ouija board? Who are you really talking to? That's today on Cautionary Tales with Harper.
Cautionary Tales. Stories that are passed down or around. But are they always true? Do we really know their true meaning or intent? This is the podcast where we dive into cautionary tales, superstitions, mysteries, and more to discover the truth behind the tale. This is Cautionary Tales with Harper.
Welcome to the show. Don't forget to press that subscribe button. It's me, Harper Brewski, and my dad, Tony Brewski. Dad, I know you really don't like Ouija boards, but have you ever thought of playing with them?
Have I ever thought of playing with one, or have I ever played with one?
Either one, as long as I get an answer, it's fine.
Okay. Have I thought of it when I was younger? Yes. I did attempt to play with one time with a second cousin of mine when we were visiting. I remember he had one in his room, and I was probably like, I don't know, 10 or 11, and it's like, let's try this. And absolutely nothing happened. Nothing. So I have no stories to share of the Ouija board.
I thought you would be more mature with this now that I'm 8. And I know not to play with them.
Well, yes, but the thing is, my mom was not also sitting in our house doing paranormal shows either. So there wasn't a lot of caution about it. There was enough caution that I should have known better, though, because I was told not to do it.
Either way, you should have known better.
You're right. I probably should have known better because I did have some education in the world of it. There was a story, and it's nowhere near as spooky as some of them that we hear on the other show, Real Ghost Stories Online. But it's a family story. And I guess one year, your grandma and her sisters, they were asking the Ouija board, what is one of them going to get from their boyfriend for Christmas? They were asking my aunt, the Ouija board this for my aunt Holly. And apparently the Ouija board spelled out R-I-N-G.
Ring.
Yeah. And she got a ring. Now, could it have been, you know, it's four girls moving things around. It's a pretty, you know, it's Christmas time. Seems like a pretty easy guess to make, you know. Could it have been just that? Sure. But that's the only family interaction story I have of a Ouija board, other than the hundreds, or if not thousands, of Ouija board stories I've heard over the years on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yeah, but what? I always thought of a Ouija board like it has a ghost inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like you're trying to interact with the ghost that's already in your house. Like they put like a small object that a ghost attached to. Like it's like hidden under all that packaging.
That's not exactly what it is. And I mean, keep in mind, Ouija boards are subject to your belief system, if you believe they work, if they don't. We're going to operate on this show in the mode that we believe things can happen with them. Just going forward, just for the listeners out there, what you're describing is not how Ouija boards work, assuming you believe they work. It's not that there's a ghost inside the board, or that there's something hidden underneath the packaging or the cardboard or whatever the thing is made out of. The way a Ouija board is believed to work is it's essentially like a telephone. You know, if you pick up this phone and you want to talk to my grandma and grandpa, mine, who are dead, you can't call them. You know, you can call their old phone number, but it's not going to go to them. They're not going to be there.
Unless it actually did.
Well, let me finish the analogy. You know, if you were to call your living grandma and grandpa,
they would answer.
But they're not in this phone, are they?
They're not like trapped inside of it.
No, they're not trapped inside of it. So that's not what a Ouija board is. A Ouija board is more of a communication device like a phone that is designed not to communicate with the living, but with the dead. So just as the ghosts, the spirits that you would be communicating to with a Ouija board, they're not in the board. They're using it as the conduit, as the device, just as you would use a phone to communicate with living people. They are using that as their communication device to us. So it's not that the board is haunted or anything like that. It's that they're using it to communicate. And just as you can hang up a phone, there's ways of what is called closing out a Ouija board, which they say dramatically reduces your chances of having something that you opened up that line for that gets into your house. And if you close it without closing it properly and having whatever comes through stay on that side, that's where the problems come in. That's where we start getting ghost stories. That's where we start getting people saying, I didn't even know I had to close a Ouija board. And most times when people have problems with a Ouija board or after a Ouija board session is because they didn't really take it that seriously. They didn't really understand what they were messing with, and they didn't really know what could be brought into your house. Now, you can say, listeners out there, this is all just a bunch of hooey or whatever, you don't believe it. That's fine. You're completely entitled to your opinion.
And then have this same... And then have what we're saying interact with you and you don't know what it is.
And then you'll learn your lesson. That's the cautionary tale of Ouija boards.
And that's why we are here.
Exactly.
To warn you not to do this.
So I'm basing my opinions not on just, you know, hearsay or this is, you know, what I watched on television. What we'll talk about are stories that I've never heard. But we're going to talk about these stories. I have... over 10 years of experience hearing people share their stories, thousands of stories about their interactions with Ouija boards. So that's where I base my opinions and basically best practices, if you will. Or I just operate on no practices, don't use the darn thing. As we continue into the conversation, that's where I'm coming from. So our audience understands.
You really shouldn't be messing with the thing anyway.
But if you do, here's some stories about what could possibly happen.
Or go on.
Yeah. So let's jump into to one of them. And I found a lot of these through Ranker. It's very interesting just to see this plethora of stories of people who've had interactions with Ouija boards. One individual, a Redditor, actually submitted this. They said they went out of their way to get... haunted by something that came through their Ouija board. After trying and failing to contact a spirit the first time, they went full blown. They cut the lights, lit some candles, did what you see in the movie, turned on an old radio to play nothing but white noise, and they tried to make contact with the other side. That's a pair of bad ideas if I ever had heard one, because you're really setting the atmosphere to make this thing work. When the spirit finally responded, the Redditor who shared their story and their friends learned about the name of a certain spirit or demon. And I'm not going to repeat it on the show, but if you do any sort of research on Ouija boards and you hear people independently sharing their experiences from all over the world, this same name keeps popping up. And it's from people who don't know each other, who have not done research on Ouija boards or anything like that. But it seems to be a very common one that comes through and identifies itself. And it's a very unique name that comes through the Ouija board identifying itself as what it is, which is a demon. It says, we began to try and move the planchette in circles like you do when you're expecting an answer. And all of a sudden... it just stopped at the hello spot of the board and wouldn't move. We actually slid the whole board off the table trying to get it to move, and it was just being pushed down hard. The planchette continually alternated between hello and no. The radio emanated screeching sounds in the background. A bunch of objects fell off the top of the refrigerator. The candles blew out, and a cat that lives in the house began walking with a limp the next day. Weird activity continued in their home for weeks. And the spirit, when they asked what its name was, responded with that demon name.
Okay.
So there's one lesson. And it's actually a lesson where the cat gets hurt. I make the joke of like this is not a haunting where the cat gets possessed. And I can't honestly say I've heard many stories where the cat gets possessed, if any, but this cat started walking with a limp. I feel bad for the cat.
Yeah. I don't want my cat to get hurt by a demon that we can't even pretty much see.
Well, that's the thing. When you have interactions with something that you're not knowing exactly what you're interacting with, a lot of crazy things can happen. And nothing can happen too, but that's the risk you're taking.
Yeah, so don't play with Ouija boards.
Another story here, it says, this writer's most terrifying story comes from an evening when another spirit came through. And this one is not a demon name. It just, they came out with the name and said their name was Deb. And proved that it existed by explaining that it knows where she and her friends smoke, possibly insinuating that it's watching them as they go and get their fix. So some teens playing with it go out secretly smoking, and this thing seemed to have knowledge of it that it otherwise wouldn't. They weren't freaked out enough by this information to stay inside, and the writer told her friend that they pressed Deb, who was in communicating through the board, to prove that she is real. And here's what their account said. It says, I said, how will we know you're real? And she said, trees. And I'm like, screw that. And Haley says, we have to do it. So we're outside smoking. I'm looking into the forest, sweating in fear, thinking I'm going to see a demon face in the branches or something. Eventually we relax, but then Haley, mid-sentence, her face drops and goes white, and she's like, oh my God, get inside now. I toss my cigarette, jump in the window, we close the blinds, and we're breathing super heavy. I'm like, what the heck just happened? She says that behind me in the distance, there was like a very large, 100-foot-tall tree, as she's described it, but no wind. I remember this because I was watching my cigarette smoke go directly up and was blowing perfect O's without them disappearing. She says the tree was still, then suddenly the whole tree, including the trunk, moved back and forth and then went back to being perfectly still. And I was like, hell no. And after a while, freaking out, they sat back at the board. They put their fingers on it and said, did you see? The board said, did you see, to them, meaning the tree, did you see what I just did to the tree?
Okay, that's a demon. That's a demon for sure. If it's going to take the form of a tree and then like move.
I don't know that it's a demon.
And it's really tall, so that's also pretty scary.
Well, no, the tree was tall and the tree moved. So something manipulated the tree is what it's saying. Basically, it didn't, like, a tree didn't magically appear. It used what was already on the ground to get its message across when there was absolutely no wind.
Yeah, and very, very like tall things. That's scary for me.
Just not the idea of tall things.
Not like being on top of them and then like looking down, like looking up at them. That's just terrifying.
I don't know what that is, but I think it's something that we both have. And it's a weird fear of there's something ghostly and spooky about tall, inanimate objects. That's what is very haunting to me about Titanic. It's not even so much the story of the ship sinking. It's the massiveness of it.
It's so big. And just like looking at it, yeah. Like I saw like a picture on like a page documentary of it. And there's like these people like standing like right at front of it. We're all like the engines and like,
you can see the perspective of how large.
Yeah. And it's terrifying.
That's what was haunting to me as a child too.
It's just like, that thing could crush you at any time. And how big it is, that just caused my phobia.
Is it a fear that you're going to be crushed by it? Is it just like an anxiousness that you feel when you're by something that's very large? It doesn't matter the object, just something big and it, whether it be a structure or a ship or something, giant airplane, whatever it is, what is it? What is going through your mind? What are you feeling that is translating to you as fear?
I'm feeling that I have to get the hell away from it.
But why? But why is it?
Why do you
feel the need to get away?
I really don't know. It's just like this thing and this like fear.
That's there and you don't know why?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why either. I know it's somewhat of a common thing with Aspies a bit. So I don't know if that plays into it for us.
I can name two haunted things from my perspective. I know Tower of Terror isn't really haunted. It's like a fictional thing, yeah. But I'm still going to name it because it's...
Okay, so the size of the building.
Yeah,
okay.
Tower of Terror, the Queen Mary,
yeah.
Titanic, which is still sunken.
Yeah.
What
about like more modern day... Because some of those ships that we just talked about are either they're sunk or they're big, you know, but they are still actually smaller than modern day cruise ships.
You mean like the Badger?
Yeah, and that's a older ship too. I don't know that you've ever actually seen a modern day cruise ship up close and personal. I don't think you've ever been close to one.
I've seen one from afar, and those things are massive.
From afar, you have when they're out in the ocean, but I don't think you've ever been like right up next to one.
Please don't put me right next to them, and please don't show me a picture of one because I'm already terrified of ships enough.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Do you have a fear of like looking at like a Disney cruise ship or being close to one?
Because that's actually fun. It's not like this. I like being on ships. I just don't like being like
next to them.
Exactly.
Okay, so feeling your smallness next to the massive object is where the fear comes in.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Okay, let's go to another Ouija story as we continue down this road. This individual relates their Ouija board story that seems to be more about a family of intuitive people who live in a haunted house than anything else, but it's worth noting that their spooky troubles didn't begin until they horsed around with the Ouija board. Afterwards, their ghostly issues included phantoms pulling on a baby's limbs, a black-clad ghost family, and an appearance of a creepy red door. What's more, the sister in the family may have summoned up something very troubling, and here's what they write. It says, anyway, her sister said that she was playing with the board one day, and when she asked who she was speaking to, she got a weird name. It stuck out to her as odd, but she didn't really worry about it. Weeks later, she watched a special on History Channel or something, and they were discussing demonology. And she realized one of the names as being the strange one that she encountered on the Ouija board. That very same one that I just talked about earlier, where different people continue to encounter this same name.
Okay. And you really can't say it out loud?
I don't like speaking demon names out loud.
Interesting. Interesting.
Why is that interesting?
Research. Ideas for cautionary tales.
Well, what, demon names? We're never going to speak demon names on the air. That's just part of what we don't do. And part of it's the fear that, you know, you could actually invite something or call something if you actually do say something out loud. So that's why we don't do that. Another Ouija story, it says, when stationed in Germany, a former Redditor and some fellow soldiers decided to light some candles and try and contact the dead. The first spirit they spoke with was a young man who had perished while she and her boyfriend were driving home from a Grateful Dead concert, and now she was looking for him. After she went away, they actually spoke to the boyfriend, who asked if they could tell his girlfriend that he was sorry. Then they spoke to the ghost of an older woman, who said that the reason the spirit of the young woman couldn't find her boyfriend is that he's in hell. Which is quite disturbing to hear coming through a Ouija board.
Yeah, that's very, very disturbing.
I've heard stories of Ouija boards use where people have used it and have seemingly successfully communicated with someone who has passed on. And then that was the end of it. But quite honestly, I hear more stories that don't end that way than actually do.
Yeah, and it's like something that this always like tricks me. Like, is heaven really up there and is hell really down there?
My opinion would be, if that exists, that it's the idea. We're not playing with physical spaces when we're talking about things. It's what you refer to easily, up, down, things of that. Up is usually positive, down is usually negative. So I think it's a time and a place and a space that's somewhere, but it's not necessarily up or down. It's just another plane of existence.
Yeah.
If you will. And so the direction doesn't necessarily play into what exactly it is we're talking about.
Yeah, because hell could be right and heaven could be left.
You're exactly right. And neither way, the direction doesn't necessarily matter. Another story, it says, while playing with a Ouija board with some friends from a high school, individual and some friends encountered a spirit. Again, I'm not going to say the name, who said that he had been slain by his father. The group tried to move on from the conversation, but the spirit continued to insist that he wanted answers, even going so far as to spell out, "Satisfy my request." After that, the friends abandoned everything on the board, the house, the street. Truly, the only way to bust a ghost, the way that they just completely stopped communicating with the spirit. The story itself goes like this. A few friends and I mucked around with Ouija boards a lot as teenagers. It had always been harmless fun. And one night we were speaking with a young boy called, and we'll not say the name. He had told us that he had been murdered by his father. We spoke with him for a while and then got bored of the conversation and left and eventually tried again. We started to speak with someone we assumed was an elderly lady, when actually it turned out it was this individual again. Someone must have asked, "What do you want?" because the Ouija pointer spelled out, "Satisfy my requests." And then continuously spelled answers over and over again until we freaked out and just abandoned everything. The board, the house, the street. I've never touched a Ouija board since. Early last year, a few of us got together again, having all gone separate ways since high school. And we brought that night up, and everyone swore again that they hadn't moved anything on purpose that night. Of course, someone could be lying, or we could have inadvertently been moving the pointer without realizing it, but just remembering the force of the pointer moving so rapidly and what it spelled out freaked us out enough not to want to mess with it ever again, just in case.
Okay. Well, that's why you don't play with Ouija boards. Ouija boards can bring a lot of harm, danger, and you really don't want a door to be opened from the paranormal into your house. You really don't want that.
And why do you say that?
Because sometimes you don't know who it is. Sometimes it could be a demon. Sometimes it could be like one of those mimicking things that I don't know, that I can't really pronounce the name of, and I don't really know how it actually is pronounced.
A doppelganger?
I can't pronounce it.
Doppelganger.
Doppelganger.
There you go, yeah. New word for today. They didn't teach that one on Sesame Street.
What they really should.
Big Bird teaching about doppelgangers. Another one here. This is an interesting one where I've heard versions of this story over the years where people have their Ouija board and they want to get rid of it. It's, you know, it's causing more harm than good. But that in itself turns out to be quite a difficult task. This letter, it says, when I was 13 and now my deceased sister was 14, we decided after watching old movies about Ouija boards to make our own. Since our house was being renovated at the time, there were tons of materials in the backyard that we thought we could use, such as wood planks and whatnot. So we went scavenging. We found one of these and taped a piece of paper over it and drew our board with all the elements. I was an easily scared child and she was fearless, so I told her to maneuver the board and that I wouldn't touch it. She laughed at me while we proceeded to ask questions. Spirit came through, told us his name was Roger and that he had died of food poisoning. During that time, our oldest sister, who was pregnant and visiting us, was upstairs vacuuming and doing some cleaning. We had a central vacuum, and the box was in a closet just beside my bedroom downstairs in which we were playing with the board. So it was pretty noisy in the room because the vacuum cleaner, if our sister had spoken to us, would not have heard her. So fast forward a few minutes of silence from the board when suddenly the planchette starts spinning really fast and spells out, "My sister's name wants to talk to you." We were puzzled as we didn't hear her talk to us. At that moment, the vacuum stopped and she yelled at us to come help her with chores. We were pretty freaked out about that coincidence and decided to throw the board away in the backyard. We weren't allowed to wander off into the semi-ravine that had formed and it wasn't fenced, so we knew not to get too close. We threw the board into the ravine and then we just forgot about it. It went over the ravine, though. The next day, it was warm outside, and my sister came to ask me if I wanted to go for a swim in our pool. I said yes. We each went into our bedrooms to put on our swimsuits. We go outside by the back door, and right there, lying by the pool, is the board. We exchanged deep, horrified looks, threw it a second time very far down the ravine, and never spoke about that story again to anyone. I wish she was here to tell about the story as well, as it was pretty freaky.
Did you put the lid on the board? Because that might have helped.
Well, they homemade it, so it wasn't like it came. Closing the board is what you're referring to, right?
Yeah.
Now, closing a board is not just putting it away in the box. There's actually something you do when you're closing the board. I don't know the exact steps involved because I don't mess with them, but there is something you do to close the board and ask that the communication be stopped and so-and-so stays over there and you stay over here. But kids messing around with it oftentimes don't know that. They're playing with a game. This game is sold on shelves next to Mousetrap and Guess Who. The real Guess Who, though, however, it ends up tending to be what you find and end up coming through the Ouija board than anything else.
Yeah. That's sometimes I think a Ouija board should be named Paranormal Guess Who.
Paranormal Guess Who. Do you have glasses? And you can play it back and forth with the dead.
No, you try to guess who it is, and then.
Well, that's how you play Guess Who. You ask a bunch of questions, and you keep trying to narrow it down.
Yeah, but you don't like play it back and forth. You just ask certain questions about that person.
Okay.
And it doesn't ask questions about you.
I see.
So you ask personal questions. Credit card numbers about that person.
Credit card numbers. How are you going to verify that?
It's dead. He's not going to do anything about it.
He doesn't care about his credit line anymore. They're gone.
Yeah, he can like float into stores anytime and get what you want.
So you're saying you want to try and contact a ghost through a Ouija board to get their credit card number. To go on a shopping spree? Is that what you're kind of getting at?
If it's a rich person, yeah.
Well, usually upon death, credit card companies are informed of that fairly quickly and the credit cards are closed out and not allowed to be used anymore because that sort of thing could happen more so with the living finding the cards than the dead, which at that point would be credit card fraud. I don't know what it would be considered if you got the number from the dead, though, directly and using it. I'm sure it's not exactly something that's looked upon with favor from the credit card companies if one were to do that. But wouldn't that be an interesting one to do of a recent individual? Like, okay, prove you're you. What's the last? And I don't know all of the digits of my credit card numbers, but I could probably give you the last four because I quite often you have to confirm things with the last four of a credit card number. So I could probably do that off the top of my head if I was dead. But to get the full number, I don't know that I could help you with that.
Why not just use your paranormal skills and then go onto your computer and check it out?
That would be an interesting one to dig into a little bit. One more. It's a Ouija board that was so pent up with spooky energy that it didn't even have to be used to mess around with someone. And I've heard of this too. Not only where people try to get rid of a Ouija board and it just keeps coming back, but more so where
they just get in
where it's been used so many times that, and this may be a case where what you were describing at the beginning of, is there something actually with the board itself? My opinion would be that if you go pick up the one down at
the garage sale, probably, yeah,
there's a possibility there. But if you go pick up one at the toy store new in the box, probably not.
Yeah.
So that's something to think about. The story goes, a friend of mine was really eager to get rid of her board. She said that no matter where she used it or with whom, the same spirit entity would always try to contact her. She'd been keeping it in the bed of her truck for months because she didn't want it in her house. I didn't believe her and had always wanted one, so I took it and left it in the trunk of my car. Fast forward about 6 months to my boyfriend and I being bored in our apartment one night, I decided to pull out the board to see what would happen. Nothing did. Not surprised, I left the board boxed on our table and forgot about it. Not long after, weird things started happening. At first, it was odd, but pretty just mundane as far as what was going on. I was reading on the toilet one day when the shower curtain next to me was ripped open. I thought it was the cats, but the bathroom door was closed. When I stepped out, all three were fast asleep on the bed. A few days later, I was walking through the living room when the vacuum cleaner turned on by itself. Not too odd, I figured again. Thought the cats must have bumped it, trying to find a reason there. But when I looked, I saw the vacuum wasn't plugged in. As soon as I realized this, it stopped. I told my boyfriend about it, but he didn't believe me until things started, in fact, happening to him. I worked the night shift. He spent a few nights a week alone in the apartment, and one morning I came in to find him sitting up in bed, looking very shaken. The fact that he was awoke was very strange. He usually slept like a rock until I came home from work to wake him. Even more unsettling was the fact that he looked freaked out. The guy had always been the fearless daredevil type, and he had his own experiences with the supernatural. He said nothing freaked him out this badly before. He woke up in the middle of the night, and when he sat in bed, he heard an extremely loud crash in the living room. So loud, it shook the apartment. He insisted that it was definitely in the apartment and not one of the neighbors. He linked the sound of the table being hurled across the room into the wall. When he got to check, nothing was amiss. Cats couldn't have knocked anything over because he was getting ready to move most of our things. They were packed, the furniture being moved. He got back into bed a bit shaken, but something was thrown at him. He didn't want to investigate and couldn't sleep, so he sat in bed waiting for me to get home. When I looked, I found my hair straightener in bed. The straightener always stayed plugged in at the bathroom counter. Whatever had thrown it would have had to unplug it and bring it around a corner into the bedroom to throw it at his head. So there's an example of, they brought something in. It didn't really seem to have any results with them using it, but someone else had already used it and kept that thing open, and almost, you know, you would say maybe a portal or something was opened, and that, wherever it went, brought things with it.
Yeah, and it really wasn't a good thing at all.
No.
If it's going to throw a hair straightener at you, you gotta pack up, move out, never turn back at that house.
So pack up, move out. You wouldn't just flee and never and just leave your stuff behind? You would make sure you take the time to pack up and get out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm not going to just leave my stuff in the house.
You know, there are stories like that where people have been so scared by what happened that they literally just flee their home and everything is left behind. And then whoever comes in next is like, what do I do with this stuff? Or they take it up. And sometimes that in itself then leads to new haunting stories because there's an object or something in the house that seems to have been causing everything. But if you don't know what that object is, it's hard to say what to get rid of.
Exactly. Unless if you just get rid of everything.
But at the end of the day, the lesson is don't invite things in.
And don't buy Ouija boards, kids. That's it for today's episode. Be sure to press that subscribe button wherever you download podcasts. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you don't ask the right questions, you may end up being part of a cautionary tale with Harper. For Cautionary Tales with Harper, I'm Harper Bruski.